Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. We have an awesome episode for you today, but we just want to remind you before the episode starts that if you're listening to this episode on Spotify, please leave your comments in the Q&A section under this episode. If you're listening on Apple, Google, or anywhere in between, please tweet Gary at Gary V. Make sure you join the Discord to stay up to date on all things V Friends, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
What's up, Gary?
How are you, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I'm so thankful for you.
I'm glad to be doing it. I have a hard stop at 3, so it's rock and roll.
So I've been following you since 2016. You were jabbing, providing value. You know, then you went for that right hook, that ask with the NFT, which was a collective ask. We get value, you get value. And I bought a passionate parrot. And it rocked my world. And that brought me to VCon, got to meet you, got to film a reel with Nima Nanz, Logan Paul, Gary V himself, Ben Francis from Gymshark. Then I happened to see you at the restaurant that night. You walk in, we kind of locked eyes.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm not going to come harass you. Like, we kind of winked at each other like, all right, like, you know who I am, Jesse, but you know, we're cool. But I just felt like maybe I should go up. Like, there was this voice inside of me. Go up and say hi, introduce yourself, but after dinner. And so I walked up to you, man, and you guys had just kind of got done your checks and you kind of picked up the phones, like the guy, your parents were there,
yep.
Your girlfriend. Yep. So it was just so cool to talk with you for like a half an hour. And I'm sure you remember.
Of course.
And just talking. So I was like, hey man, can we do a podcast together? And you're just like, dude, I do it all the time. Email me. So guys, Gary V is truly the most kind person, compassionate, caring, empathetic human being. I want to ask you, Gary. I'm not sure if a lot of people have asked you this. You've probably been asked this before, but I want to get into the passionate parrot. I know we only have 15 minutes, but systemization. Like, I'm not sure where you come from on this business-wise. I have an 8-figure business. You have a 9-figure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just so curious. Like, I'm putting in the systems in my business, right? I have an internal website and all the people who follow me are starting to buy that website as like a template that I sell. It's so super cool. I'm a general contractor. J Lane Construction is my company. So what do you use systems? How do you keep your team organized? How do you cast your vision? How do you define your roles?
We use a lot of systems, but the ultimate system that I think about is the human system, meaning for every Slack, for every, you know, Google infrastructure, for every, you know, HR software, for every, how do we like to communicate, whether it's WhatsApp, Threads, or email, or Gmail, or GChat, or Signal, or whatever it may be, for all the technology systems, the CRM, Salesforce this, content management that, CMS that, content management system, for all of those, the reality is those tools are only as good as the players using those tools, right? Like a hockey stick is a very good tool to play hockey, right?
Yeah.
But hockey players are different. I've got Dustin here filming. I'm gonna say something that I'm sure I'm gonna get a reaction from him. You could have the most tricked out BMX bike, but if you can't ride, you're gonna get exposed. And I think about that from, I love sports and I think about tennis a lot when somebody just comes with like the best racket and the best sneakers and basketball, like you got the proper Jordans on, but if you can't shoot, it doesn't fucking matter. You're gonna lose to somebody who can be barefoot and can shoot. And so I think about that corporation wise, like the reality is that the thing I work on the most system wise is the human system. How do I surround myself with 50 people at the size we're at eight figures when I was at Wine Library, an 8-figure business, you're at an 8-figure business. How do I have those 5 to 10 homies, family members who are gonna make sure those systems are followed properly and that there's soul in the business and that people care because we care about them. And so I think about HR feelings. It's why I wrote 12 and a half. I wrote Jab, 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 Right Hook for like, here's how you do content that works for you. But you know, I wrote 12 and a half for like, here's the real game. It's around compassion and kindness and human elements. And so the ultimate system is the human system.
Business is two things. It's systems and it's people, but you can't have one without the other.
I think you can actually build meaningful businesses with people and not
just
systems,
people.
But it's impossible to build a meaningful business with, you know, with awesome systems that nobody gives a fuck about the company.
So how do you onboard new employees? You kind of take that, you have a C-suite, I'm sure, right?
Yes, we have, you know, 14, 15 people, and then we have offices heads equal to the C-suite. But it's more about intent. It's more about empowering our HR department over our financial department. So I think one thing that people do is they make financial decisions, but not human decisions. There's a lot of things we do. You know, empowering feelings versus finance is a big thing I think about, which is like, you know, hey, we have our department's not as profitable as we set. The weakest link on the team is this. Uh-oh, the weakest link on our team's husband has cancer right now, and we're gonna pick feelings of not firing her, even though she's the weakest link, because her husband has cancer right now and she's going through a tough time. And so we're just not gonna run at the same margin this year as we wanted to, is something that I've done throughout my 25-year career and will continue until the day I die. I will choose the truth of the human situation. And you don't always know. I mean, I used to always know when I had 30, 40, 50, 100 employees. Now at 1,500,
yeah,
we're restructuring one of my companies today.
Wow.
I'm literally just looking at the 11 names. There are 11 people who are no longer here today that were in one of my companies at VaynerX, and there's four people replacing that salary. So it's not a cost savings. It just, we need certain things. And so four people are coming in, one's already here, and 11 people exited. At the size and scale that we're at, I don't know if one of those 11 people actually has one of these very challenging situations. I'd like to think that the culture we've created has empowered that. But I know that many things slip through the cracks at the size and scale we play at. I also know that the majority of the people that are listening to this podcast have 5, 7, 12 person companies, and they should know. And I definitely did when I had 100 employees.
So if you're kind of running your business off of intuition, it sounds like really knowing people. So you're so in tune. You're almost like you can see the future. Like there's something within you that I see is so deep and connected. Where do you think your intuition comes from?
The luck of the DNA draw. I mean, literally, and which is why I think back to like your opening sentence on this podcast that some people might be like, huh, that's good to hear, or I'm glad to hear that, or I would have never thought that. I keep it super humble because my biggest superpowers are God-given. And God-given means my parents had sex at the right second. Right? Like it's not super complicated. And so it's very high for me. It's very hard for me to get high on my talents, which keeps me very grounded. Because to your point, no question, my great advantage in the competitive landscape of business and life is my intuition. And I, you know, as much as I'm proud of like the hard work I've put in and all this, like so much of this was put there for me. And it's, you know, I think I'm very fortunate to have the luck of that draw. And I have worked hard to extract the most out of it. But even hard work, I feel, is a trait that was taught to me by watching the hard work that my parents put in as immigrants. And so that even that is the quote unquote luck of the draw. I could have been the grandchild of me, same talents, but not had that street kid energy because I wasn't first generation, I was fourth generation, I would have been a totally different person.
Yeah, and you also said yes to your opportunities, which is how I got to where I'm at, is you have the DNA, you have the parents, you have the programming, right? But then you say yes to opportunities and it brings you higher and higher, which leads me to—
saying yes to opportunities real quick before you ask this question is a game based in patience and humility. I say yes to a lot of things, including this podcast, because I'm patient. I want to do nice. I know this is going to be good. You know, I know this is going to be good for you. My intuition is that you'll be able to get some other fancy guests because of this.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
And that makes me happy that will be good for you. But it's also about, you know, just like saying yes to random things because it's karma. It's luck of the draw. You may ask a question that leads to an insight in my own mind that I'd never thought about before that may lead to a profound content pillar that I play on. And so people say no out of fear. People say yes out of confidence. And I think a lot about that.
Well, here's one piece, man. The Passionate Parrot, Why I Bought It. when I saw that. I was like, my main mission in life, one of them on YouTube and social media is, and my content is, how can I help people find their passion? Because I found my passion when I went and I saw that first piece of wood and I was like, construction is my passion. Then I said yes and yes and yes. But then I entered into this light beam. And you can use this, bro, or post this clip on your Instagram, man. That'd be crazy. But anyways, this light beam that people fall into, and I feel a lot of people don't find their passion. Maybe they're at the cashier desk at Walmart and they haven't found their passion. Maybe that is their purpose in life, and that's a whole nother conversation. But when I stepped into that light beam, whoom, I mean, it just took me like you were saying.
If you do what you like, you can do it the most, right? Like if you love golfing, if you love BMX biking, if you like tasting wine, if you like watching movies, if you like listening to hip hop or punk rock, if you like going to concerts, if like whatever you like, you'll do the most. Like, and that's just very real. And so the reason I've always been big on passion as well, and Passion Parrots, one of the first BeFriends I drew, is because I really believe in it as well. It's just back to motivation and energy. Like it's really hard for, and I went the complete opposite on things that don't come natural to me. I was not able to just be a B and C student like most people are. Because I wasn't passionate about school, I got D's and F's. Like I'm very extreme. Like I'm either in or out. And like, you know, I think most people are able to just be a B and C and D student. And like, and that's fine for the first 18 years of your life in some ways, because it's hard to convince parents when you're 9 that you're going to quit school. But when you start becoming an adult in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, I mean, the amount of people that are changing course at 46 and then enjoying 40 years of their life that I get messages about is profound. You can imagine why I keep pounding these 20 and 30 year olds. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, you can literally change your mind at 43 and then have 43 more great years before you get to 86 and start to kind of slow down. Like life is very, very awesome if you decide it's awesome.
And I love that your mom helped you realize that. I know you got to go soon, that your school failures, because I was the same thing, but they didn't make, that's not your identity.
Well, my mom did well was hold me accountable. It wasn't like she was like, fuck school. She's like, you're punished. But she was able to like, hey, there's ramifications for, you know, your actions. You're a bad student, you're a kid, you should be doing school, quote unquote, you're punished, you're grounded. You have a week or two of no TV, no video games, no friends. Yeah. But she never said things like you're a loser or you're not gonna make it. All the things my teachers, I don't know what it was about the 80s and 90s, but like the garbage man was the thing that people picked on. Like I had 7 different teachers, at least 5, that told me I'm going to be a garbage man and I'm never going to amount to nothing.
I heard the same exact thing, bro.
It's very rude.
When you're a purebred entrepreneur, you just can't fit the box, man.
100%, brother. You know, that's how I've always spoken and how I believe in. I see it now. Luckily, the kids that are coming up the game now, their parents are more open to them being entrepreneurs and they realize like they could be happy and successful. And that's all a parent wants. Every parent that pushes their kid to get good grades today, I think is a great parent. Who just, that's their ideology. They think that that's what it takes. I argue that that's just not true when you look at real life. Like, and by the way, like money scares the shit out of me. Like parents that think if their kids are a millionaire, they'll be happy are probably the most delusional of the most, you know, as much as I think it's crazy to think if you get A's and B's, you'll be successful. It's equally as crazy to me that parents that go the other way and are fully about their kids being an entrepreneur because they're like, they're gonna make $5 million. Well, yeah, but I know unlimited people who make $5 million take home who are incredibly unhappy, unsatisfied. And I know plenty of people who make $67,000 a year who live joyous, fulfilled life. We have to really rewire and reconversate all of societal norms.
You have to know what you're wired for. Well,
self-aware.
Look, I know you got to go, man, so we can wrap it at that. But how crazy would it be to ask you to, it would be amazing, maybe follow me on Instagram.
I'm happy to do it, brother. What's your Instagram?
That'd be amazing. Jesse Lane TV.
J-E-S-S-E. Yep.
L-A-N-E, like lane, like a street.
Yep.
TV, like television.
There you are in your nice little suit.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Remarkable.
The big lesson of this for everybody in the meta is you don't ask, you don't get. Jesse, take care, brother. Stay well.
Love you, bro.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thanks so much for listening or watching to that episode of the Gary V Audio Experience. We really hope you enjoy it, and we hope to see you next time.